Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Props to you. I know it was luck, but still, props to you for your pick of the Clippers last night. Good job.
I appreciate it. But as I told you before, Chris, you know, like, we do this, right? It's about trying to be right, look at a situation. And
right.
I know, like, you look at it and go, Kawhi's not playing, they can't win. This team has been through so much, and it was just one of those opportunities for Paul George, right, to step up and play. We know he's talented, obviously, right? But he's been disappointing a lot. But he played really well last night and got them a much-needed win. They've done it two times now in two series where I consider this, Chris, you know, franchise turning. You know what I mean? We talked about it with Dallas when they were down 30-11 in Game 3. You remember, about to get buried. Right. They won that game on the road. Here's another one. All right, it was nice. They tied it 2-2. They get the bad news. They could go like, well, that's our season. Kawhi's hurt. You don't know if he's going to play. We don't know. And they went out and they played a good ball game. And obviously other players contributed as well. But it was refreshing to see, like, it wasn't automatic that they couldn't beat them, you know, on the road. That's all. So we'll talk about it in detail.
Well, you know what? Let's stay here. I mean, the Clippers is a worthy story. You know, we're going to lead with it in a later hour. But let's just go ahead and stay here. And talk about it. I was on with Colin today, Colin Cowherd, and he said this, and I did tend to agree with him. He said that last night's game, he thinks could be argued as the best basketball moment in franchise history. Mm. And I said, I would say there's two moments that would be the best moments in Clippers history. When Kawhi Leonard and you know, with him, Paul George, went to the Clippers.
I agree.
And Kawhi chose him over the Lakers. And last night. Now, that speaks to the futility of the organization.
They haven't been to the Western Conference Finals, Chris. So we do know where they've been. But it's hard to argue. I mean, I just brought up that other Game 3 in Dallas. Obviously, just the first round. But they were in serious trouble because we talked about it. Had they lost, right? Chris, this franchise wouldn't look the same. The people might have stopped building that stadium in Inglewood. You know what I mean? Can you stop production?
They might have tried to coax the Lakers to move there.
I'm serious. Right? Like, what are we building this for?
No, it would have been bad. I mean, we keep bringing him up, but, you know, he's our man, Stephen A. Stephen A., did you hear what he said?
No,
I don't know if it was if they lost the Dallas series or if it was that if they lost this series to Utah, you know, before Kawhi's injury.
Right.
He said he'd move on from Kawhi.
I
think that's an overstatement. I mean, his thing was you can't build around this guy's not going to win for us, and we got to build around somebody who's in the load management. It's tough. I get what he's talking about with the load management, but the thing is this, Rob, even if you don't win a championship, Utah is a great franchise. They've never won a championship.
Right. No, you know, they had two Hall of Famers play together, Chris, for what, 13, 14 years?
No, from almost 20.
Was it the same?
It was like about 18. Stockton got drafted 85. Malone, I believe, was 84. They played until 2003 together.
I know
Malone was
84.
18 years or so.
So, I mean, they had two Hall of Famers play together for that long. They went to the finals a couple times. You know, Michael Jordan was in the way. It ain't no total shame, Chris. You know, like, the greatest player ever was in their way, and they couldn't get past them. A lot of players couldn't get past them. So it ain't just them. And they were the number one seed this year, and they played well. It got you a pair of Jordans. You remember Martin Weiss thought they were going to drop out of the top
crazy
four?
Bet.
Yep, with that.
Martin. I wouldn't have bet him something else.
Well, you know, I've been all over him on our podcast because the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast, because Martin has been not having a good postseason. But anyway, last night was a a moment. It really was, Chris. And there was just a feel there, you know, like I know probably, did you ever get, I didn't get the sense that they were going to lose. I know Utah made a run and made it close. What did they cut it down to, 4 or 6 or something like that?
I think 4.
4, and that was the moment, you know what I mean? That was like the moment right there.
4 or 6.
Yeah, one of those two.
When, and this is one of the things I give Paul George great credit for, his 22 first half points were huge because, man, Rob, I don't know if I've seen a team that on fire from 3. I guess the one time, remember when Cleveland got their one win in the finals against Golden State?
Oh, they made everything. And
it was ridiculous.
That's what Utah was doing last night.
They hit 17 threes in the first half, record, 10 in
right?
the first right. quarter. If you hit 10 in a quarter, that's 40. So imagine hitting 40 threes in a game. They hit 10 in the first quarter, and yet they were up by a point after the first quarter.
And only and by,
up by five
at the
at half.
Halftime.
Right,
right, right.
When I saw that, that did make me think, now I did feel like Utah was going to win. But that was, you know, scary if you were thinking the Jazz were going to win because it's like, hold on, it's doubtful they'll keep shooting this well. And they're only, the game is close. If they just cool off a little bit, then you got to think the Clippers are going to be able to take command.
Right.
And that's what happened.
You always got to remember that there is, Chris, and that's not the, every once in a while a team will be hot and they'll just be hot the whole game. But for the most part, that's those things even out. You know what I mean? There's
right.
a balance. There's,
right.
It corrects itself. And you were right. Anybody looking at that say, how did they hit 10 threes in the first quarter? They only lead by 1.
Right.
Right? They didn't yep. bury them.
And Rob, I thought, now Donovan Mitchell didn't have it going. And in a strange twist, I think their three-point shooting, he never really got in a rhythm because everybody was draining threes so much. You know, that he just really never got his game going. Now, I know the ankle's there and all that, but he never really got it going. And typically you'll say, well, hey, we'll take them hitting threes like that. Yeah, because usually if you're hitting at that rate, you'd be up big and you wouldn't need Donovan to be at his best, right? But last night, because they didn't have the big lead, when they needed him to take over because everybody else cooled off, he couldn't. He couldn't. And so props to the Clippers, man. They showed heart. And again, Ty Lue, Rob, he had Reggie Jackson hunting the defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, in the pick and roll.
Yep.
And so they get it switched so where Gobert was on Reggie Jackson, and obviously Gobert's not comfortable out there at the three-point line or at 17 feet or whatever it was.
Nah,
and Jackson was raining threes on him. And that was another great adjustment and move by Ty Lue. They went small, Rob. And
give
so Gobert
what
had to guard.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Ty Lue has made moves, Chris. Made
no doubt.
Changes. Not afraid to say, you know what, this ain't working, or we need to do this. And,
or you ain't playing this game, you know what
right.
I mean, to some of the big names. Rondo, he's unleashed Terrence Mann.
He's playing well. Why not
yep.
play the kid, right?
Yep. So props to the Clippers. You think they close it out tomorrow? Obviously, we'll talk about it in depth tomorrow, but
yeah.
you've got that feeling?
I do. I really do. I think that this isn't. They don't want to make it any harder, you know. Trying to win a game 7, I think this is their game to just finally break through. You know what I mean? Like they've had enough. Last year was nothing but heartbreak, and this year has been nothing but resiliency. I mean, I just can't get over what they've been able to do. The 4 road playoff wins, Chris, so far. You know, they haven't yeah. played nearly as well as they need to at home. So I think here's their opportunity just to win it, bust through, get to the Western Conference Finals. I really think that they can get it done.
I'm not that far.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Not that
I mean,
far. Okay.
Look, they could win. I mean,
right.
they're in, you know, they're in the driver's seat. Let's put it that way. But I would not be surprised, and I think the Jazz still has a good chance to win this series. I don't think it's a travesty if they lose. Obviously, they're up 3-2. They're going home. You hope they can pull it off. If they don't, I won't kill them. I won't be like, oh, you're up 3-2. How do you blow this? I mean, They are undermanned. They are without – they still got good players, obviously. But they are without their top player.
They're without their star. So if right. And if they would have won this without Kawhi these last two games, my God.
That right. And if they win it, Rob, I'll see who I'm going to pick. I'm not sure. With Kawhi, I would have definitely picked the Clippers.
Right.
But I do definitely think the Clippers have a good shot.
Okay.
Like, against the Suns, if they get – you know, obviously you got the issue with Chris Paul. But if the Clippers beat Utah – particularly either way, but particularly if they beat them in six,
right?
Then they're going to feel great going into that series.
How could they not?
Yeah. I mean, you got to give them a legitimate chance. Because in addition to Chris Paul's injury, Rob, Phoenix is young.
Yeah, they are. They haven't been there. They haven't been there.
And they've beaten, well, it would be the same with the Clippers without Kawhi, but, you know, the Denver wasn't healthy. The Lakers weren't healthy. So it'll be a good one. I'll make my pick before that series if it happens, but props to the Clippers and great job on them.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Our next guest was a colleague of ours. Back at ESPN, went on to make a major move and become the vice president of basketball operations for the Memphis Grizzlies, and now back in the media business as a senior NBA columnist for The Athletic, John Hollinger.
John,
what is up, man? It's been years
since I've seen you.
Yes, man. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing great. Great talking to you.
Let me ask you this. I mean, I mentioned you went from media into the front office, back to the media. Is there a preference for you? I mean, obviously, being
I hope
in
it's
the
general
office,
manager making more money than being the media
You make more
guy.
Money, I guess, but it's pressure right. filled, right? Like, what is that like?
So you have an easier life on the media side, and it's not that you don't work as hard. It's more that your brain can shut off. It just never stops on the team side. And even when there's quote unquote a break, like your brain just never stops churning. Right. So I'd say that's probably the biggest difference is that you can kind of exhale more, on the media side. So anyway, they're both fun in their own way. So it's hard for me to say like one is better than the other, but in terms of kind of having a balanced life, yeah, the media side's probably a little better.
I can see that.
Hey, John, help me out with the Philadelphia 76ers. Is this a coach thing or a general manager thing? And what I mean is, you know, do they have the right personnel, the right people? Or do they have the right coach? How do you blow a 26-point lead at home after you blew an 18-point lead the game before? It's just
and you got the better players.
Obviously. What's wrong with the Sixers?
I think it's a few different things going on at once. I do think they made some interesting strategic choices, let's say, that probably weren't beneficial. Like when the Hawks are doing Hacka Ben, like the Sixers had an entirely offensive lineup out there, but if they're hacking Simmons, that's your offense every play, right? So just put your best defensive players on the court with them then, so you can stop the Hawks. And they didn't really do that. But I think the largest issue though is just Simmons with Embiid, and I think they've really tried to put in different pieces to make this work. And I think it's really at the point where you say when you get to the playoffs and teams can scheme for you and do different things, like it's just hard to have great half court offense with a dominant post player, with a guy who's playing with him, who is never going to shoot from the perimeter. I mean, these last two games in the second half, he's taken like two shots and they were both alley oops. Is that right?
Like ridiculous.
And then the foul shooting too, obviously is another layer to it. And it's a shame because with Simmons and Embiid, they well, they ought to be dominant defensively anyway. They got torched at the end of the game last night, but offensively, the way the NBA is set up right now, if you can't play offense with at least four guys out, you just can't score enough, no matter what you have at the other end. So I think that's something they really have to look at, is do they need to go in a different direction with this partnership? Because I think Simmons is a guy who on a different team could actually be a lot more valuable if there were four other guys around him who could shoot, and you could play him like as a kind of, you know, junk ball five in certain lineups and stuff. I think you'd see his value go up. But it doesn't really work doing that with him on this team with Embiid already there.
No, I agree. You could actually kind of play him like Milwaukee does with Giannis.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, if you were running the Sixers, and let's say they lose this series or lose in the next round, what would be your offseason priority? Like, what would you do with Simmons or Embiid or what?
I think you have to figure out if you can convert Simmons into another perimeter player who's, I would say, like more traditional perimeter player, where it's, you know, the shooting, the passing, the offense. Maybe he isn't a dominant defender, but that type of player. And it's always hard when you talk about trading a star, because you're trying to get another star back, and there's not that many of them, and most of them are not on the trade market. So it's a difficult ask, but at the same time, I think the Sixers owe it to themselves to figure out if this is really the best pairing for Embiid. And I think it has to go that way, because Embiid is the dominant player of the two. So I think you have to look at what is the best we can do around Embiid. And I just don't think the Simmons piece of it fits as well as it needs to fit to win a championship.
How about talking about winning a championship? Brooklyn has a shot. What did you make of Durant's performance? No Kyrie. Harden 1-for-10, you know, just was out there and facilitating, but didn't have his legs, couldn't make any shots. How big of a performance was that? Down by, what were they down by? 17 in the third quarter, and come back and win that game.
Unbelievable performance. As much as the Bucks have been criticized, and some of the things I think could be criticized that they did, like, you go back and look, like, Durant hit some pretty tough shots. I mean, and in some pretty difficult situations, shots that normally you'd probably be okay with, you know, giving up if you're a defense, but he's so big and he's such a good shooter, he just gets it off right over the top of the defense, and for him, it is not a difficult shot. Especially the one three-pointer he made right toward the end, at the end of the shot clock, just off one dribble and chucked it up going to his right. And yeah, I mean, that was like the cherry on the sundae, right? An all-time performance, I would say. Probably the definitive Durant performance in his career.
Mm. Quickly, John, if you can, within a minute, what do you make of the injuries? You saw LeBron James tweeting about the condensed offseason. You buy that, or what are your thoughts?
I mean, it was about the Benjamins, right? That's why they did this. When you go into October of the previous season, you have to squeeze the next off season, the next two off seasons, really, like an accordion, just to get in another season in between. I don't know what other choice they had. They had to pull the time out of somewhere. So unless they were going to play a massively shorter season and lose out on a lot of money because of that, this was the best alternative, the least bad alternative, basically.
Right, and the players bought in, and I don't blame them, but they were going to lose, what, between $500 million and a billion?
And a billion, yeah.
So
it was a lot of money.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. John, great stuff.
Thank you, my man.
We love having you back in the media.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Well, the Nets and the Bucks are underway. Bucks out to an early lead. Now it's 18-12. Giannis off to a good start, 7 points early, Rob.
It ain't how you start, it's how you finish.
Well, we certainly learned that the last game, that's for sure.
And Harden already has a three, Chris, 1-for-1 from the field, 4-3.
3 points, 1 assist, 1 steal. He still doesn't look like himself, but
No. He'll be better. He'll be better, right?
Big for them. Yeah,
he only had one shot. He only was one. He was, what was he, 1-for-10 in the last game?
1-for-10, yep.
He's already got one.
Durant's got 6 points, so we will keep you updated on the big game. All right, Rob, we've talked about the Clippers. We've talked about the Nets. We got to talk about Philadelphia. And we broached it with Rick Bucher. But that collapse, blame is all over the place. Like I said, everybody except Seth Curry. Seth Curry stepped up and had 36 points. And you don't expect that from him. You don't. I mean, you're happy if you get half of that from him. And so for him to step up with that, that was big. But, Rob, they blew a 26-point lead. And they were up 24 with a few minutes left in the third quarter. And that is the best, one of the best defensive teams in the league. They had three all-NBA defenders, and they gave up 40 points in the fourth quarter.
It was a total meltdown, collapse, total collapse.
Absolutely. And we brought up Doc Rivers. Some of the numbers are staggering on his collapses. He's the only coach in NBA history to blow multiple series when you were leading 3-1. He's blown three. No one else has blown more than one. Yesterday, he became, I'm going to save this one for last. But yesterday, Rob, was his 11th playoff game in which his team lost after having a lead of 15 or more points.
Wow.
No other play. That's the most in the last 25 years. No other coach is in double-figure games like that, like has done that more than 9 times. And then here's an astonishing one. In the last 2 postseasons, so last year and this season, Doc's teams are 11-5 when having at least a 16-point lead in a playoff game. Okay? The rest of the league, Rob, in that situation, 76-3.
Right. The rest of the league, he's lost 5 games that way. Right. It's an astonishing number. And, Chris, I told you when Philadelphia hired him, that was a risky hire.
It didn't make sense, and
not that there's not too many coaches left, Chris, walking around with a championship, so we give Doc his respect and credit for that in Boston in 2010. But coming off what happened with the Clippers and that team and that collapse, for Philadelphia to say, oh yeah, here's the guy who's going to get us there, it's a hard sell. I'm sorry. I thought it was a hard sell.
Jumped at him, Rob. Jumped at him. I mean, it was like once he was available, they were all in. And I agree. Doc, he's viewed as a really good coach. But, I mean, these aren't lies. People aren't making this stuff up. And these collapses, and I always say this, Rob, when my team is better than yours, my players, my roster is better than yours, and you beat me, it's my fault as a coach. If I have a superior team to you and you beat me, especially in a series, anything can happen on one night. But in a series,
right,
it's on me because I had better players and I didn't put them in position or get through to them or whatever to beat your lesser talented team. And this just keeps happening time and time and time again. And you brought up something earlier that it's hard to argue with, but go ahead.
No, I just, if this collapse happens and they lose to the Hawks, Chris, who have had a great year, young team, I know they got Lou Williams, who's experienced in Gallinari. But if they lose here and lose the way that they did with that blowing two games where they had big leads, and especially at home where they could have taken control of the series, gone up 3-1, and they lose this series in Atlanta, like they lose game six and it's a wrap. If I'm Philadelphia, I have to consider firing Doc and just saying this didn't work. I'm serious. Like, after 1 year, we've seen guys get fired after
this
1 year.
We've seen two guys. Yeah, Nate Borgen in Indiana and Stan Van Gundy in New Orleans.
I would have to rethink it. I just would.
Well, from talking to our few guests, John Hollinger and Rick Bucher, it sounds like they, if they were in charge, would trade Ben Simmons. And that, Rob, I'm sure, if, just from a political standpoint, if Doc's in trouble, that's probably what he'll advocate for, because it'll save him. If they decide to trade Ben Simmons, first of all, they got to find a trade. That's not going to be easy necessarily. But if they do decide to trade Ben Simmons, if they lose this series, then I would think they'd keep Doc. For sure. Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, because
like
they would say,
give him a shot, right?
They would be saying, it ain't all you. We just got the wrong mix, right?
Right, right.
But
we We tried it with Doc Rivers. It didn't work. It's not the coaching. It's the player.
Right. We don't have the right people together. The only thing is, and this is, here's my issue. They're the right players to build a 26-point lead. Do you know what I mean, Chris? It's not like...
Yeah.
It's one thing you go out there and you're not good enough and it doesn't match up and you're getting run out of the gym. Then you go, we just don't have the right players. We built up a lead. All we needed to do was figure it out, make a couple of adjustments, take some guys out, put guys in, okay? We can't play Ben Simmons when they're fouling him and we're not getting any – we can't do it. I mean, period.
Yeah.
He's got to come out, Chris. You remember in the early days of Shaq? Coming out. Right. They used to take Shaq out the game.
It's even worse with Simmons because he's your primary ball handler. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that makes it even worse. But I would not, I mean, everything would be on the table if they lose this series, but I would lean toward not firing Doc. I get it. Like you said, we first guessed this. We didn't say it was a terrible hire. We were just like,
no,
this is kind of
how does
shaky.
It look? Right. Like, it wasn't like he got the Clippers to the Western Conference Final for the first time ever, and we stole him from the Clippers, right?
Right.
That would be we stole him.
That the Clippers did that when they traded to get him from Boston. Remember
that's
that?
What I'm talking about. Right.
He was coming off a championship, you know, relatively recent championship. And Doc was viewed as an awesome coach.
Yep. That's where you feel like you stole a guy from the other team.
But he didn't get him any further than Vinny Del Negro, who was fired and was ripped. Doc never got him past the second round. I get it. There were a few injuries. Blake injured 1 year.
Right.
Chris
there were things that happened. It ain't
like
all
that.
His. Right.
Right. But he did blow that 3-1 lead to Houston, and James Harden was on the bench. I covered that series. It was Josh Smith and Corey Brewer that led that charge. I mean, it was crazy.
Right.
And so you got the whole track record, not just last year, but the 7 years that he was in L.A. But I probably, and I don't know if you can do it, but I would try. I wouldn't just give Ben Simmons away. Like, oh, I just got to get rid of him for anything. But I would definitely look at it. And I think, Rob, both teams really made a mistake here. But you know, when James Harden was ready to be traded from Houston, demanding a trade, he wanted to go to Brooklyn, but Philly was, you know, on the table. And Daryl Morey, who was in Houston as the president, now is in Philadelphia, wanted to make the trade. Ben Simmons was gone. They were ready to move Ben Simmons to Houston. The Rockets owner was like, no, we're not dealing with him. We're not dealing with Daryl Morey. I'm not about to hand him James Harden to go with Joel Embiid and watch them win a championship. And I get that, But I think you got to look. Houston would have been a lot better too, Rob, because I agree. I think John Hollinger mentioned it, and I've been saying it on TV all day. You can build around Ben Simmons.
Right. The only thing you don't know, Chris, is where his health is. But if I had to pick in this NBA, I'm not picking a guy who can't shoot. No. Not in this NBA. I'm sorry.
Well, and not with a big man like Embiid, but I could play Simmons as, like, he can push the ball in transition. He can drive and finish. He's an excellent passer and defender. If I put four shooters around him, and then when we're in a half court, he's inside because he can finish. He can post. And he can pass if you double-team him down low. So you could play that way. Will it get you a title? That depends on how good, you know, one or two of your four perimeter guys are around Simmons. But you could be good. That could work. And so I think Houston should have looked at that, Rob, and said, you know what? We'll take Ben Simmons. And I, you know, maybe would they – I mean, obviously they don't have Harden to give up, but will somebody else be willing to do that? I don't know. You know, there was a time maybe you could have got Trae Young for him. Not now. Atlanta ain't moving Trae Young.
Right. Oh, are you kidding? No.
No way.
No way, no how is that.
Right. I mean, one, he looks like a great young player. Two, he's a folk hero down there now, right, after this postseason?
Yep.
So – I would look at that, but and then Embiid, Rob, and I get it. Several people have said, look, I think he's worn out when the second half starts. I think he's 3-for-21 in the last two second halves, something like that. But, Rob, that's not an excuse. You can't be worn out. I mean, I get it. Your knee, you're playing on a damaged knee, but you're playing, and you're playing well. At times. And if you recognize, okay, I need to pace myself, then pace yourself. But have something left in the second half. And so it was just a monstrous collapse, Rob. And if they – I still think – I'm saying this. For all – and I've been crushing Philly today. I still think they win this series.
No, I don't think they have a shot at winning this series.
You don't think they have a shot?
Nope. I think they're going to get closed out in Atlanta, Chris. I really do. The two losses that they had and just where Ben Simmons' head is and Joel Embiid, I just not after those two. If they recover from what they did, and that last one was just – if I'm Atlanta, I go for the jugular, you know, at home. They had to come back from big deficits. They're not going to do that in Atlanta. They're not going to be down by 20. I think they're going to be, you know what I mean? Like, you had a chance to put them away.
No, they were. They were down 18 in Atlanta, right, in game four.
No, I meant, but that's two games in a row, right?
I mean, Philly has the better team.
No, there's no doubt. I just don't think they're playing better.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's possible.
That's just me. I don't see Philly winning, and I don't see Utah winning. I don't. I see the Hawks and the Clippers winning both game sixes.